For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey y'all, this is Mallory Irvin and it's time for all of us to live fully. It's so important in this crazy world of ours that we stay connected, inspired, and motivated to be and do our best. And that's not always easy. I'm here with my guests and friends to share the stories and lessons we've learned to help you live your best life every day and truly begin living fully. Let's make it happen and get started with today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Living Fully podcast. I'm so thrilled to bring you Elizabeth Hasselbeck today. Elizabeth and I have been friends from a distance and just in passing when we see each other in Nashville for a while now, but I just am thrilled to have her in my home here today to talk about some really amazing ways to live fully, how she chose to live fully in her own life from literally being an art major at Boston College, walking onto this softball team, wanting to design shoes, to ending up on Survivor and then The View for years and years, and then Fox sharing the news, and then how she kind of decided to leave all that and choose her family. She has many accolades and titles, including New York Times bestseller. She's got an amazing husband who was a former NFL quarterback and analyst, Tim. We talk about him too and kind of what keeps their marriage alive 18 years later. And so many other things, including her three children, Grace, Taylor, and Isaiah, who co-authored this wonderful book that we're going to talk about some today at the end of the podcast called Flashlight Night, An Adventure in Trusting God. And what a world we live in today where so many things are going on and I feel like we need to trust God and kind of hear his nudge in so many ways. And here's Elizabeth today to share how she's done that in her own life and impart some amazing wisdom on how we can do that in our own. I'd like to take a second to thank today's sponsor, CO2 Lift. If you guys follow me on Instagram, you have seen me apply this gooey mask to my face that I've been raving about for 4.5 years now. It is a carboxy gel mask. It's the only one that's approved on the market for this, and it's so much more than just a mask. It's literally repairing your skin from the inside out, and I'm such a fan. I think it's like the beauty product of the last 15 years. So you'll hear more about this in the middle of the podcast. Okay, I'm so happy to be here with Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Hello.
Hey.
Thanks for having me. This is so much fun. You're such a bright light. I just love you. All that you do. You have such a gift.
Thank you. That means a lot coming from you.
You really do.
We live in this wonderful city of Nashville where people just get drawn together that not always do the same things, but like I feel like you're just a person that shines a light and it shines through the work that you do. It shines when you're on TV. It shines when I see you from a distance at the mall with one of your children. You just have a light about you. And I love it that we kind of got drawn together and that we're sitting here right now. It's just a cool thing.
Well, I love that. I love that expression too, because I do think I love seeing you in the mall. I love watching on my phone, on Instagram, both the same, which I think says a lot about your integrity and who you are as a person.
Thank you.
Because I think, you know, I think one of the worst things that can happen is when you think one thing and then you see another and your expectations kind of meet with reality. But you, I have to say, you are so lovely and so bright, and you're such a good mom.
Oh, that means a lot.
It is so evident how much you love your family. I love that about you. And I think you hit the nail on the head saying that people are drawn together in Nashville. There is something wonderfully like magnetic about this city because so many people come and you can kind of just be who you are. You can be who you are creatively.
You really can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can be a person that is a current celebrity that's done big things in the past or that, and people don't bother you? I don't know. Do you feel like that? Because you're like a real celebrity.
No,
do
I'm
people
so
bother
not.
You or
I,
no?
I'm, my job was interviewing real celebrities. I just had fun asking questions. But I think everyone can really find their own creative self here in a way. You know, whether it's you're creative at home and parenting, or you're creative as a teacher, or you're creative as a musician. I feel like the thing that Nashville is really good at is letting everyone truly be who they are. Mm-hmm. And there's no like hierarchy of who's better or who's more important.
I feel
it's
that.
Sort of like, like everybody just really loves everybody for
they,
who they really
they
are.
They really do. Isn't it a special thing? And it's like, hey, there ain't no more houses. So if you're listening to this, there ain't no more houses here. No, you
none.
Know, you can.
And it's hot here in the summer. Okay.
It's hot. Really, it's too hot.
It's
don't,
too
no,
hot.
It's okay. It's, we welcome
love it.
People with open arms, but it's a great place. It's a really great place. You did not grow up here, nor did I. So you grew up Upper East Coast,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And you lived there for like a lot of your life.
Yes.
And then you guys just kind of decided to move here because you wanted something different for your family, right?
Yes.
You and your three kids who co-authored the book that we're going to, those three little authors you got living in your house we're going to talk about today.
Aww.
But yeah, like making a big choice like that for your family is such a, it's a hard thing to do probably, but an easy thing to do at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why we started talking about Nashville. That wasn't the direction that I was going to go in. But what I do love about you is how you just, you ride all these really cool waves in your life. Look at your life. You walk on the softball team at Boston College. You then go on a reality TV show, which we kind of have in common.
Yes.
Survivor. Like, and do people always ask you, is it really like that?
Yes. And I'm
like,
sure they
you're like,
you,
no, my body just looked like I just chose, like they were feeding me on the side. I just got super skinny.
I mean, that was so scary. We were so starving. But I think we knew it was over. Like, I'm sure with Amazing Race, like, you know, there's an end point. So, you know, you can accelerate in that. And so you kind of like just do your very best. And, you know, it's not forever, where I can't imagine that being like an actual situation.
So
I think the blessing of that was it was hard. Everyone's always like, was it that hard? I'm like, it's hard, but I knew it'd be over.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't put it in a different category than like, you know, training season for softball. Except one had
that
more,
was really hard.
One,
too.
Had more, one had more snacks. But I think I'm okay with something hard when I can see the end point. I think where it gets difficult in life is where you can't see the end point. And that is
that's
almost
good.
Unimaginable for me. And so, and I think that's probably why I think I can see the end point in faith, and that's kind of gets me through most things. I know like what the real end is. I know what the finish line is. And so that to me kind of allows acceleration now, because I'm like, I'm sure about that. I'm sure about eternity. I'm sure.
I really like that.
You know, moments where I question it and I'm not, I have questions, but I have an assuredness and a steadfast heart about it. I think just God's been good and allowing me lots of time in his word. So I think similar to Survivor, I knew, I was like, I can do all this hard stuff. Because I know what's coming.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I feel about life.
But I'm sure there were moments where you forgot, where you're starving to death. When you talk about, because I love it that you love Kentucky
this
Joe.
This is
so
me speaking like 20 years later. When I was there, I was like, is there a taxi?
Yeah, can I go?
In Australia?
Are you going to let me die?
Here?
Yeah. Yeah, I my dad watched every single season of Survivor, especially when it first started, because you were on season two, like the very beginning.
Yes.
When it, I think it was harder in the beginning. Now I think they've realized like we were getting a little close to death for a few of these contestants.
Yeah. Like Mark Burnett and I are friends now, but I was like, I'm pretty sure he was trying to kill me then.
Yeah.
I was like, I would have, if you would have said you'd be friends with Mark Burnett in the middle of Survivor, I would have been like, when I find him, I'm going to let him know I will not be his friend. But it ended up being not only just that shift in your life, it changed everything, which I didn't anticipate, which I'm sure you felt the same way.
Yeah.
But it really kind of taught me what to rely on. And, but there were moments in there, I'm like, I don't even know if I went really camping before that.
Yeah.
Like, everyone there had real like Merrells or real hiking boots. And I had just gotten mine. I'm like, I was like broken in. I'm like, this is a problem. I didn't even know how to start a fire.
Yeah,
I was a mess. But I learned a lot quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love the story about, so everybody gets to bring an item like to the island. And you talked about how yours was your representative headdress. Like that was what was gonna, making sure people knew your identity, who you were, sentiment. Like it was, that was such a cool story to hear you talk about on the podcast and read in the book. And then you talked about how your friend, Kentucky Joe, who was like my dad's like favorite character, he brought his Bible. And like that was your... That was what you clung to. It wasn't, and how you kind of realized, like, it's so funny. When I read that, the first chapter of my book is about this pivotal moment in my life where I realized I had been stacking everything onto myself and attaching these things to me to be like, this is who I am. Yes. Like, if you can't see, let me show you. And you were talking about attachments, and I really connected to that and thought it was so cool how in your journey through surviving, survivor, like you realized what you really clung to. And that was, he brought his Bible and that became your...
It was so funny because here I was trying to like show everybody who I was and remind myself. I think part of it is like when I get dressed or when I'm kind of like, people be like, oh, you love a theme, you know, you're in your like 80s gear. You love
today you're Western, themed,
you know,
right?
I'd love to know where I'm going and like get appropriate for that. But I think part of that is like, I also use either what I wear or what I put around me to just remind myself who I am. Mm-hmm. And I think we do this as women all the time and attach to also send a message to somebody else. Like this is who, just in case I forget, like you're going to know. Mm-hmm. What I'm about, okay? Mm-hmm. Like I like color. Yeah. I'm not trendy, but I like to like get creative. And so I think we do this, and it for sure was doing that. And ultimately, God was probably giggling because he's like, "You're wearing this headdress, but like, let's just take that off because you're telling everyone who you are, but like, that's my job." Mm-hmm. Like that's my job as your God. I remember going to visit the Queen of England, which is
not bizarre.
Normal. Also not, falls in the not normal category of my past life. Like, okay, you're going to go to dinner with the queen. And it was like a small dinner, like awkward, like 40 people. And I remember the first time we had gone to this like state event at the White House and President Bush had invited us. And I was so nervous to not be enough for her. Mm. And so I started just attaching like all these things. Like I had shoe clips everywhere. Mallory, I put my shoe clips on gloves. I took these crystal shoe clips that I had on shoes also. And I was pregnant, so I was hungry. And I remember putting shoe clips like on my satin gloves because I was like, I have to wear gloves. Oh, and then I put my wedding cape on, which I had sewn like shoe clips on. So I had all this like things that I was clipping onto myself just to be worthy to be with this queen for 5 minutes and take a picture. And just be in her presence. And I was like, I left there. And years later, it hit me like, you were putting, like, if I could have worn like a fascinator, I should have worn a fascinator just to be like, here I am, I'm enough. And I remember thinking like, isn't that neat that, you know, you want to present yourself so well for royalty. And here we are, like, we've got this God who's a king who wants to spend tons of time with us, not just a photo op. Mm-hmm. And like, we don't have to put on one thing. In fact, he's like, why don't you just take that off? Mm-hmm. Like, I've already given you a crown. Like, you're already beautiful. You're already a princess. You're already mine. You already have a kingdom and that's yours already. Like, you don't have to attach anything to you for this identity. Mm-hmm. Like, you already are.
Yeah.
You're all so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, he's so kind to give us that. And I wish I had realized that in that part of life where I was chasing so hard to be enough and worthy enough and beautiful enough and try hard enough and work ethic enough. And it comes, I think, with time.
Yeah. But you say how he used that part of your life to bring you back. Like you were always with him and you talk about the part of your life where you know, you were on The View for all these years and then you're at Fox News for these years and how I love reading about that part of your story because I'm in the middle of, you know, my own version of this busyness and this a little bit of a rat race. And, you know, you've got mom guilt in the back of your mind being like, oh, I want to be present, but I also want to do all these things that I really feel I'm being called to do. Because you always talk about that too, about how sometimes we get ahead of God and we say, oh, no, but I'm qualified for this. Like, right, you gave me these gifts, I'm going to do this. And God's like, whoa.
Yeah, he'll hold you up. Like, he'll stop you. I definitely felt like that, you know, a couple times in the book I talk about, like, I remember I played softball at BC. I probably shouldn't have even made the team. So that was the first miracle in my adulthood that God provided. excited. But I'm on the, I'm trying to like round third to like prove to my coach that I can steal home and just like earn a spot on the team and not be polishing helmets anymore. And, you know, she's giving me this like the two hands up and those are not
saying stop.
Yeah. Those are not praise hands. Those are like, stop, like do not go. Don't pass me. And I like blew by her. I was like, whatever, I'm going to score and I'm going home. I'm going to prove to everybody who doesn't think I'm enough that I'm worthy. And there I was tagged out near broken leg at home. And sometimes we do that with God. Like he's like, I'm telling you, he's giving us signals. We just don't want to pay attention to him. We're like, I know you're giving me this like weird feeling to stop and pause about something, but I'm just going to go by it. And I know I should take a more minute and ask that wise friend what I should do in this situation, or even just sit quietly and pray about this big thing that I think I should be doing. But I'm afraid that I might not get the answer I want. So I'm going to go anyway and find out the hard way. And I spent a lot of my life doing that. The good news is God still shows up. He's like picking us up, dusting the clay off. And he's like, I told you I was going to let you do this in a little bit. But like, and he wants to carry us home. He doesn't want us to like grit our way there out of his will.
Yeah.
And so I think the trick is really just as simple as just listening to him and not ignoring nudges that you know are from him and sitting enough in his word and his truth so that you can hear a lie when it's presented to you.
And you were talking about how like your coach that was saying, no, wait, could see the whole field and you couldn't. And I like how you talk about that a lot. Like God can see the whole thing. And that's why he's saying stop. And it may be a good thing, like making a home run. Scoring a point or however many points you get.
There's a point.
I get sports confused.
I don't know. I didn't get any. I was like, I didn't get any. Points.
But, you know, if you would have, it's like sometimes it's a good thing that's in front of you that you feel like, well, of course, this is of God. Like, I've got the skills to do this. This is a good thing. But I think it's really fascinating when people, they surrender to God's will, even when it seems like there's something really amazing in front of them, they surrender and they're like, you know what? I feel something. I feel something that feels a little off. I'm going to take a second. I'm going to think about this. And that's what the question that I was going to ask you was like, what does it feel like? What is that? Is it tension in your body? Is it like a nudge? Is it things just being harder than they need to be once you get into that role? Like, what does that feel like for a person that's listening to this? That's like, yeah, but like, what does she mean? Like, what does it feel like when you get ahead of God?
Yeah. Okay. That's a great question because I think I only know it like after I'm like, oops.
Me too.
Like, oh, shoot. Like, what the?
Did I do that wrong?
Like, now I'm going to mop this up. It's kind of like, well, I'm like, I'm 43 now. Am I 43? I'm young at heart, but
you're young at everything. I'm sorry. I'm looking at you in front of me.
I feel like now at this point, like things start to hurt. And I used to see injury or like getting sore or pain in my body as like a challenge to keep pushing through. Mm-hmm. And I think athletically you push through pain. Like that's all I heard growing up. Mm-hmm. Like just push through the pain. And you're like, I'm pushing through the pain. That's fine. And then you hit a point in your life where like, you don't push through pain at 40. Like anyone who's listening, who's like, wonderfully young, exactly the precisely the age you're supposed to be right now. Once you hit 40, if no one's going to tell you this, everyone's like, 40 is great. Listen, girls, it hurts. Okay. So when you get to that point, like you get out of bed and your feet might hurt just a little bit, but like warning signs come. So now like if I get sore or something's hurting me, I'm not trying to push through pain.
Yeah.
And that comes with, I think wisdom's like that. Like if you're getting something and something's not quite right, it might be in your work week. It might be like for me with Fox, I loved my team. That was the goal of morning television, like amazing, you know, opportunity to like bring news to the world. But I wasn't doing it in a way that allowed me to be present the way I desired at home. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't resting. I was over preparing because I was not sure that I would remember everything about global issues and war. So I was hyper working late at night, draining my own self, like in terms of rest.
Yeah. You slept like what? 3 hours.
Yeah. Like 3 hours a night. And so it just, I wasn't
with
like
three children
scripting for success. And I think God gave me a couple warning signals along the way, like, hey, you might want to sleep. You know, I got sick at one point, I had a tumor at one point growing. And I think he was still being like, now are you hearing what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I gave myself like a good 6 weeks of rest. And then I was like back at it again. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't paying attention to warning signs. So warning signs can look like right in your own home. I had a pastor say like pressure reveals fracture. So I think a lot of women are really great at managing pressure. Mm-hmm. Like we've got kids, we've got dinner, we've got pressure cookers, we've got, you know, speed dinners. We're handling all this stuff. But I think where are the fractures? I think getting honest about where things just don't feel quite right before they feel really wrong. And so is it, you know, I'm really kind of snapping at my husband.
Mm-hmm.
because I'm tired.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at Instagram too much late at night, not sleeping. Or I feel like I'm constantly trying to catch up in this area with my kids. Or I feel like I'm missing deadlines with my work because I'm, you know, managing something else or hyper-managing something else. I think it's a matter of like paying attention to where that weakness might feel and getting honest and being like, why is that there? And what's off to make it there? And just asking yourself some hard questions and really making sometimes a slight adjustment is all that's needed. Mm. You know, I kind of wait till things get so bad.
I'm the same way.
I literally wait. Yes. I've run on like a broken leg for like 3 weeks and then gone to the doctor and he's like, what's been going on? I'm like, well, my leg hurts. He's like, have you been running on it? I'm like, yeah, I've been running on it till I couldn't walk anymore. And he's like, it's been broken for 3 weeks. Like I should have gone. I'm bad at seeing signals early, but I don't want to spend the rest of my life catching them late.
Yeah.
So I think
I like that. Yeah.
Women out there are working hard and we've got all these talents. It's hard to spot them sometimes.
Yes.
Do like a weekly check. Like what is a little bit off before it's too far gone?
Yeah.
And get in there and do the thing that it takes to fix it.
Mm-hmm. What is a little bit off before it gets too far gone? Yeah. I really like that. And you know, speaking of, because you always say you got ahead of yourself. Like whenever you're off the view and you're like, oh, you know what? I'm going to show you, I'm going to go on Fox News. And so that is an instance in your life where I guess is an example of you kind of got ahead of God. And I like how you talk about your life. You're like, how in the heck did I end up here? How did I like ride all these waves and all of these things? But what I really like about what you always say is you say, I didn't feel qualified and I wasn't qualified for any of these things that I do. Because so many people, the questions that I, you know, in a space of social media, it's great because you can have constant conversation.
Yes.
And a lot of people always say, I want to do this, but I'm not. This. I want to do this, but I can't this, or I want to do this, but I don't have this. And you just like did it. And like, not only did it, but did it on a huge stage where a lot of other people could watch you doing it. And I think that is so admirable. And one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, because you didn't just fall into it, because you had to do the interviews, you had to send in the application. How, against being feeling like you weren't qualified, because everyone else thinks you were qualified, how did you just do it anyways? Because that's really hard.
Look at you. Like, yeah. I think you've got this thing. And I think when I see you, I see like this sister in like can do. Mm-hmm. Or if I don't know how, I'm going to figure out how. I see that in you and it's awesome. And I think you have, even with like, I'm hearing all your little sweet boys up there.
I know.
They're so amazing. Like, just so you know, everyone who's listening, my willpower right now to not be playing upstairs is like in high function drive because I am like, it's taking everything in me to not.
You're
like,
so sweet because you've been playing with them downstairs for 30 minutes. I'm also going to say this off because we talked for an hour and a half before we started this podcast. We did a full podcast pre-podcast,
you did.
And she brings these toys to my boys, and you just wanted to play on the floor. You're
amazing. So listen, you must feel.
Best.
I know you feel this way, and so as moms, like, here's the deal. What I think women are really good at is learning something new.
Mm-hmm.
For example, our children. Like, we don't know
what that's
like. Mm-mm. Like, you don't know what it's going to be like. I spent the majority of, like, early parenting being like, I don't know what I'm doing. I've never had a 7-year-old girl before. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm doing. I've never had a... But you know what? God knows you, and he knows them, and he does not make mistakes. So he's placed you where he's going to give you purpose, and he's going to equip you with everything you need by the power of the Holy Spirit is just what I completely believe in my heart. So I'm unafraid in parenting, and I'm unafraid in career, and I'm unafraid in the work world, and I'm unafraid in the writing world, and I'm unafraid in the art world, and I'm unafraid in relationships to just be who God made me to be and give me what I need to figure it out and learn something new because he is not
Amen
accidentally putting opportunities in front of
that.
You.
Amen to that. Why can we all not just be like that? What would we do in our lives if we could feel unafraid? Like unafraid, that word, it's just so, it's like if people finally wrangle fear in one area of their lives, they can't do it in all the areas. I can't. I wrote a whole chapter on it in my book. Fear is such a, it's a thing that keeps us living a half life. And it's like, we only have like this one life. And if we could all just be like you and being like, you know what? I don't feel qualified for this. I was an art major, but Lord have mercy. Let me go in here and talk about politics with these women who are very qualified to talk about politics.
Yes.
What a wonderful thing to have been gifted by God to
just
do it
anyway. But listen, I'm afraid of a lot of things. I'm just not afraid to fail at trying something new, but I'm afraid of other things. You know,
like
I'm afraid of letting people down.
Yeah. F-O-L-P-D.
F-O-L-P-D.
Yeah. I read that. I was like, ooh, I got F-O-L-P-D too. Bad.
So we all have the things we're not. Now, listen, I'm not reckless and I'm actually not like, I don't like risk, but I love adventure. Mm-hmm. And I like really putting myself in a place where I have to trust God completely. I just can get easily to that place where I'm like, I've got this. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think real failure can come. Because when I'm like, I've got it, I'm good, God, I'll ask you for some help later. Like, I'll call you when I need you. Like, that's not going to go well. It's mm-hmm. just not. Mm-hmm. But I think, I don't know, I really, if anyone's listening, it is about to try something new, be it a blog or a podcast or a cooking business or specialty gift shopping.
Having a baby or, yeah.
Or you want to go get that degree that you, go do it. And you don't have to do it on anyone else's schedule. You know, I think women right now and moms especially, you hit seasons in your life. Like I had a season where I'm like, I don't want to miss, I can't miss anymore. I just missed all the mornings. I don't want to mm-hmm. miss anymore. I don't know what the next season holds. If there's a window in my day where I'm like, you know what, I'm ready to use these gifts again. Mm-hmm. But God gives you seasons for a reason. He gives the world seasons for a reason. He understands so the true. Cycles that the world needs to go through and that we go through as moms, as women. And thankfully, listen, I could not do an ounce of this without my husband. Mm-hmm. Like I'm fully dependent on him.
You have
like,
a good husband. And I love reading about you and your husband. I love it that you were these college sweethearts. So you like did the whole journey together. My husband and I did the whole journey together. I went through this crash and burns in life and he saw me in all these phases. Such a wonderful thing. And I like it when you talk about, somebody asked you once, did he watch Survivor? Did he? And you were like, no, it kind of stressed him out because he's like a protector. And like, he felt, oh, and how like when you were on Fox News and you were sleeping 3 hours, how he would wake up with you and help you out the door because you just weren't, you just couldn't. Listen, it was just hard.
He was like basically by the end, placing my limp body into a car to get in there. I mean, he really held me during that time and he never made me feel pressure to continue doing something that I just couldn't get a handle on in terms of the rest of my day. And he never made me feel guilty for walking away, which probably put more pressure on him. You know, we've always been a really good team. And so, and we just, for whatever reason, we've always said like, okay, we can puzzle our schedules together. I love how he loves me. And he's like my aircraft carrier. Mm-hmm. Like I'll go on like land and take off. Like, hey, I think I'm gonna write a kid's book. Or hey, I think I'm gonna like paint something today. Okay, like, I'll be here. Like he is so solid and so steady that I can like go take off on these wild ideas. And because I know that he is there. Mm-hmm. And I know that he has the blessing of working really hard and being so good at what he's doing in this game of football and coaching, whether it be coaching or analyzing it with ESPN or whether he's coaching these fifth graders in football throughout. Uh-huh. I'm not that girl who's like, I'm, you know, all girl power. I love women. I love what our gifts are. But for me, my strength comes from the Lord and knowing that Tim is right by my side in that. And I know where his strength comes from because he is so my steady. Like he's just, I could not do one thing without him.
I'd like to take another moment to talk to you guys about the CO2 mask. I am such a huge fan and have been a long-term fan of this mask. If you guys are long-time followers, you saw that I went into Dr. Beisman's office and I said, what is the thing you can put on my face before my wedding that will transform me and be like a Cinderella effect? And he said, well, actually, there's this red carpet secret that's this mask. It's called a CO2 mask and you can put it on your face and it is just amazing, the results. He said, we use it on all the stars before red carpets. At the time, the CO2 lift was only available in the doctor's offices or dermatologist's office. And now you can literally order it online and do it in the comfort of your own home. So it's not just like an ordinary face mask. It's a carboxy treatment in the comfort of your own home. So the mask literally delivers your face with carbon dioxide. It's the only scientifically proven carboxy gel on the market. And it literally regenerates your tissue where you apply it. So you apply it really thick onto your face and then you peel it off after at least 45 minutes. and your skin will be dewy and glowy. It even for me will fill in like crepiness and fine lines. I'm telling you, I think it's the beauty product of our generation. When I used it, I was like, how in the heck did I not know about this? And you know, people say you don't get old, you just kind of dry up, like your skin just dries up, which makes you look older and crepey. So if you can really take care of that hydration in the face and keep that youthful glow, it's so effective long term. So I have a code, Mallory, where you can get 15% off your entire order. And I'm going to put the link for the mask in the show notes. So I just wanted to thank CO2 Lift for sponsoring this podcast. And I'm just so excited to bring this to you guys, because if you haven't heard about it, and especially if you haven't used it, please take my word for it. This will transform your skin. Okay, back to the episode. So what do you feel is like the key to, I'm sure it's different in different seasons. What is the key to your marriage after all these years? Or is it so many different things in so many different seasons?
How long have you guys been married?
4 years, but we've been together for 8.
Yeah, because you were like baby. You're like young. Uh-huh. You grew.
Yeah.
So we have been married 18 years, going on 19.
That's awesome.
Isn't that wild? We're Congrats. Almost like grown up in our marriage mm-hmm. now. Which brings two things. One, you have to really get creative with anniversary uh-huh. gifts. You know, uh-huh. He had surgery, and we know this. Like when uh-huh. our guys are hurt, mm-hmm. they're hurting, and it's so hard because we need them. And they require things that they don't want to ask for.
Yeah.
And so that's hard. So Tim had these knee surgeries and I'm like, gosh, what do I do for our anniversary? So I just rented a convertible and we just drove around.
Oh, that's
because
awesome.
We couldn't do anything. He was on crutches.
It's like convertible is year 18. Like year one is wood. Year two is paper, whatever they are. Year 18 convertible.
I'm terrible at that. But I think really he's my best friend. And I think also seeing him more as he's my brother in faith, right? Mm-hmm. So like we love each other. I have such passion for him. Like I have such a crush on him. Mm-hmm. And I think never getting lazy about being thankful.
Yeah.
And I love when and being better about reminding him about what I need. You know, I used to kind of wait like, well, if he knew that mm-hmm. I mm-hmm. wanted this and he would know, or if he
you
should know that
so
I.
So much time oh, doing that. So many so people much waste time. So much time that they could spend loving someone by being like, hey, are you going to guess this or what?
Like, you know, we'll just lay it out. Like,
yeah.
I'll say, like, I said to him this week, I'm like, hey, you know, like, are you going to ask me out on like a date?
And he did 25 he did. Minutes ago. She's like, have you been to this restaurant? No.
It's going to be fun. I'm like, okay, well, sure, Tim, I'll get there. Like, yes. So you always say yes to the dates. And then I think really working on just celebrating, like making like anything kind of a date too, especially during this quarantine time, we couldn't go anywhere. Like we'll sit down and have a sandwich together and that's mm-hmm. fine. Like mm-hmm. that's good. Mm-hmm. And we love our kids. Like we love being parents together.
That's what I love about your story too. And like you did it. But Tim did it too. Like you both quit these big things for your family. Like for your, and like, I like how you said it on a podcast and you were like, women get a lot of credit for doing this, but sometimes men don't. And like, he could have played mm-hmm. in the NFL, like probably a few more years, you said, but you guys were like, we want something different for our families. And you did it.
We did
and like
it.
Here you are in Nashville and like he's coaching the football team and
he loves coaching those little guys, which is so fun to watch him. He takes it very seriously.
It's serious.
I'm like working on game plans and I'm like, is that for your ESPN NFL game you're breaking mm-hmm. down or is it for the college team? And sure enough, it's
the
for the
graders.
Fifth graders. Like he takes it all seriously.
It's the
and
fifth
he's so
graders.
Gifted. I mean, he's got a gift. I'm like, you know this game well. You are a general at it. I love seeing him use his gifts. And listen, he's working hard. I think this year has posed some challenges, as it probably has for anybody in any bit of work, to try to do remote game calling and do that from home has been hard. But he's done it. I think the best thing is our kids have seen him be nimble and make adjustments and sacrifice for our family. And so they know, like my daughter looks at me, I want her to know, like, if you can work as hard as you can and find what you're passionate about, don't be afraid to work hard. Like God's going to bless you and he's going to end up leading you where you need to go, but go and get it mm-hmm. so that you can have, like, learn as much as you can, give as much as you can, be the best teammate at work. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have more choices and availability to you down the road.
Yeah.
And you're going to always know when it's time to have more flexibility in your schedule, but don't be afraid to accelerate when you can. Like when I talk to 20, yeah. I'm like, go get it. Like go now before mm-hmm. it hurts. Because you know, the choices that we have now, you're always, that tug of like, okay, I'm dropping the kids off and I got to hustle somewhere else, or I'm choosing your, any yes is a no to something.
Any yes is a no to something.
And it's a privilege to have that be a choice. So like work isn't always a choice. Mm-hmm. And so for a lot of people, their careers and their work, their the purpose in that is to provide for their family, and there's such goodness yeah. in that too.
Yeah. And I think that it's so hard sometimes, you know, I hate that like mom, everybody always mom guilt, and it gets slung around a lot, but choosing your family over your career sometimes is something you're going to do. Choosing your, not you don't ever want to choose your career over your family, but you might have to put a lot more eggs in that basket in certain seasons of life. And I like what you just said when you said, you know, work is not an option. It's not like, oh, I'll do this or I'll do this. It's not always just this fun decision. It's like, it's sacrifice and it's hard. And sometimes you're off balance and then you have to like rebalance. And it's just life though. But if you can look at your life and feel where you're being pulled, where you're being pushed away from, and like assess it, you can really make these adjustments and like live better in your family, live better for God, and just like be a better person.
I think moms too are, I think it's a season where you can really communicate, and dads as well, where you can be efficient in work. Yeah. And we're in an age now where the technology has sort of matched the ability to accelerate at different hours. Like, you know, my research would happen once the kids were in bed for the next day, but I needed between 3 and 7 p.m. to get them home from school. And if mm-hmm. I was in a job where thankfully that allowed that to happen.
Yeah.
But listen, this world needs all types of moms in places of work
yeah.
to make the world work. So mm-hmm. it's just a matter of finding, okay, what's my purpose and calling? How can I best make this work for my family
yeah.
as we're composed? And then I think every 4 years, you just got to kind of evaluate. Like
every 4 years,
where
like
are we?
That.
Like, yeah. is this working? What's our schedule like? Because your kids go through these cycles. Like ours are now in school all day. I'm like, where'd mm-hmm. they go? Mm-hmm. Like, wait a minute. What am I going to do now? Like, okay, fine. I'll go get busy again.
Yeah.
But I do think like there's a whole chunk of the day. And then when they're little, they have these nap times, which are like, mm-hmm. sometimes that's supposed to be productive. Other times I'm like, I just snacked.
Oh, yes, I know. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I know this season it's such a beautiful season. We were talking about this as we were walking up to my office, and it's such a wonderful thing that this world of the internet has opened up and allowed me to build a big business in my house. Like where they're, my boys are 10 feet away from me.
It's
amazing. It's such a gift from God. And anytime I get stressed over something that's hard to deal with in an online space, I always think, you know what? Overall, this is such a gift. I feel like people could find that probably in any job. Overall, whether it's just providing for your family, or I love the person I work with or whatever, there are hard things and everything, but man, like things, it's just a gift. It feels
it's
like
gift.
That.
It's awesome to see you doing this. It's
well,
the best.
So
I mean, think about it. It's
Thank
just
you.
So cool.
Thank you.
So happy for you.
Okay. I want to pivot and ask you a couple more questions before we come to an end and you go on your date with Tim. Okay. So I'm going to pivot into, I'm not political on my podcast. I want anybody on any side to always like feel welcome and to feel like it's the same thing with faith. Like I'm a practicing Catholic, but if you are a Baptist or non-denominational or are a person that believes in the universe, like you are welcome here. And I hope that you find something that feeds you here. But what I want to talk to you about, because you were really an example of this for 12 years. How many years were you on The View?
So I was on The View for 10.
10.
And I mean, Barbara Walters was there the whole time. So that was like such
years.
A deepening of just even understanding of broadcasting. Mm-hmm. Just every day, I can't believe I got to spend with her, which is so neat. Just, I learned so much from her. So thankful. And then I was with Fox for 2 years, and then prior to that I was with E Networks and the Style Network for 3 years.
I didn't know you were with E, and because mm-hmm. you liked shoes before all
yes,
this.
Yes, I did.
Before you started talking to the presidents, yeah. you liked shoes.
I know. I'm like, how did that happen? I was sort of making shoes for Puma, uh-huh. literally sketching like cleats and mm-hmm. you know, running shoes, and then all of a sudden I'm sitting with President Obama.
Four times.
That's not normal.
It's
just falls
normal.
In the not normal category.
That is where you always sure. say like the hand of God was
just
there.
God.
Because how did you
knew.
Get there? It's just wonderful.
He just knew, and he was there and showed up in all of those situations where I'm like, how'd I get here? And there literally wasn't a job. And I'm like,
yeah, it's okay. Just, that's just wild. And like you talk about on The View, like everybody knows your experience on The View and that you had a different point of view. Point of View is what the book is called that came out a couple of years ago. We're getting ready to talk about her children's book that's out right now too. But what we can learn from you having a conversation with people that had a different viewpoint, and like you and Whoopi Goldberg are such wonderful friends.
Yes.
But you have totally different points of view. And I feel like sometimes lately that's been lost on people. It's like they can't even have a conversation anymore. They can't even put their differences aside, whether it's politically or over a certain issue. And I feel like you were really good at that. And you say you're a recovering rightaholic.
Yeah.
You always wanted to be right, so sometimes to the point where you said relationships suffered. So do you have any word of advice for people listening, no matter what side they're on, of how to, I don't know, for lack of a better word, like agree to disagree?
Sure.
And still be able to be human beings in connection with each other.
Sure. I think after getting like a master's of sitting at a table of debates where, you know, some of my closest friends, Whoopi being one of them, we would both think the other one was dead wrong.
Like, yeah,
you couldn't be more wrong. And I'm looking at you and it's kind of giving me a giggle. And I think the reason why our relationship has thrived despite our different perspectives or point of view on things is because we care about the other more than we care about the issue. Like, I care about our relationship more than being right. Like, I would say, I think it was Bob Goff who taught me this actually, like you want to be right with people more than being right about the thing. And so ultimately God doesn't care how right you are about something. And so that kind of triggered like this recovering rightaholic in me where, listen, when you're in a situation and for anyone who has watched The View or did at that time, it doesn't always bring out the best in you to be in like this sort of debate, argument,
all the time,
contentious. And so I had feisty moments, like ones I'm not all proud of, but I know when my back was against the wall, you go into fight mode. And so I'm not a flight, I'm a fight. And I don't love that about me, but that's just how I'm kind of wired. But I, at the young age when I was there, I mean, I was having babies. I would be pumping in my office and then coming out to
interview
a president or like debate on like the war. I'm like, oh my gosh, I still just have the cranking sound of the pump in my head. I think the
same.
But I do think I was trying to survive. Talk about survivor. But I do think the key is you can spend, I spent the first part of my career making the point. Like I was like, I'm not leaving. I will stay here as long as it takes to make my point, to make you know how wrong you are about how right I am, you know, like it just is, or the reverse. And I think now I kind of made the shift from making the point to pointing to the maker, where in every conversation, I want someone to feel loved and known by God, that that is the truth and the one that really matters. And I don't, it's exhausting to try to make your point ad nauseum, but lose someone's heart in the process. And it's not my job to convince everyone of everything.
Yeah.
But I really thought it was for 10 years. Like, if I don't say this, no one's going to know there's another perspective out there. And so I really, I felt an honor in that place. And I think the passion was proper to be right there. But I also, and out of whack at times, or maybe over-amplified, but I do think, like right now, I think the key is, especially in our times right now, is just hearing someone. Like when all this was going on with all the controversy and rioting, the first person I called was Whoopi. And I put her on the phone with the kids. I didn't even want
to remember seeing that on your social media.
I was like, listen, Whoop, like, will you talk to the kids? What can they do? They have questions. And they asked her questions.
Yeah.
And I wanted them to hear from someone that they know I trusted, that didn't, they know Whoopi and I don't agree on things. And they, hopefully they'll grow up understanding that people don't agree on everything, but can be friends. And so I think just showing our kids that we can have civil discourse and more of what I call a Godversation, where it's not full of like convincing the other person of your point.
Yeah.
And it's not condemning them for disagreeing with you. It's just this like kind of a cool holy moment where you're like, yeah, we're not seeing eye to eye, but I see where you're coming from. I don't see what you're saying, but at least I see where you're coming from.
Like, we're not seeing eye to eye, but I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
I think that all the time with people. And I love it when people can stand on one side of it, but then also like pray over the other side of things. I just saw your last Instagram post, I think, was, I mean, we know what side you're, or what beliefs you have, but then you're praying over the new president and the new vice president and asking everyone to pray over them. And I think that's a really cool thing. And that's, you speak so beautifully to that. Mm-hmm. And thank you for sharing that.
You're so kind.
And something that you said that I really loved was, cause you were talking about like when somebody's hurt you. So you have all these times in the past where you feel like you were out of line or somebody else, whatever. You said, you learned that forgiveness doesn't require an apology. You said, think about God. What if he was like, well, I'm waiting for you to apologize. So I'll forgive you. Remember, they've told you that. But like, are you going to say you're sorry? Like,
yeah, I know. Imagine if he waited. We'd all be in big trouble. Yeah, I think the freeing thing is that the math of forgiveness is like, it's already complete. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, you don't have to wait for someone to apologize, where I would wait. I'm like, and then I wouldn't like your apology. Mm-hmm. Like Tim will say he's sorry. And I'm like, I don't think you sound sorry.
I don't
enough.
Think you sound.
You know, like, and how many times do we do that?
Oh, we do that a lot.
In our relationships, but in our mm-hmm. friendships or in our lives. We're waiting on someone from 10 years ago who wronged us to apologize, mm-hmm. not just apologize, but apologize to us the way we think we should be apologized yeah. to. And that's exhausting. Yeah. And it takes so much time.
And it, like, it hurts you in your yeah. life. And like, it makes you're stuck just living this life, just waiting and pining and like, just, yeah. And it's like, do it for yourself.
Do it for yourself and do it because someone did it for you already.
Yeah.
Like, I require a lot of forgiveness from other people. Like, mm-hmm. I'm kind of a mess. And so I probably need to say I'm sorry more than I even know. Mm-hmm. So if anyone is listening and I haven't said I'm sorry, I am sorry. But I pray you've already forgiven me. And I've been walking in freedom since.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite things to hear you. I've listened to so many podcasts that you were on. I love your friendship with Bob Goff. I listened to the Jamie Ivey one and the Bob Goff one and the Sadie Robertson one.
Such
and
you good just, people.
Every conversation you're in, and they're all different. Like, I feel so much authenticity and just so much light from you. And you're just so vibrant and just giving and
right back at you.
And just, you can tell that you pray for the Holy Spirit to work through you all the time, because you feel that from you if you're across the table from you, no matter what side of whatever you're on. Like,
well, that's how I feel about you. It's well, clear because you have so much like breath in and breath out. That's just so bright. And I think, listen, at this point, I think we know, like, we're figuring out our calling every single day, like who we're supposed to be in this world on mm-hmm. purpose. And raising our children to like grow to be those kind of people too.
Yeah.
And I think it's not, listen, we're all a mess in our own ways, right? But we mm-hmm. need, I just want to be a vessel. Like, and that takes a lot of, I want to be a great vessel, and it takes getting rid of all the junk that we have mm-hmm. by the power of God to be like,
by the power
okay,
of God.
let me be a better vessel today.
mm-hmm. And speaking of light, I want to just mention about Flashlight Night. So I was talking a lot about Elizabeth's life and all of these wonderful things. You know, the podcast is called Living Fully, and every single lesson from you is related to living a full and a better life. So thank you for sharing all of that. And Point of View is the book that she wrote a couple years ago, where you guys can read more about that. But in February, a book called Flashlight Night, An Adventure in Trusting God, came out that Elizabeth co-wrote with her children.
Yes.
Which is so wonderful. I love books that it's almost like a prayer and a book all in one. And that's what this is. It's like, you don't feel like, oh, you're reading some book about what the book's about, princesses and tutus and animals are all great, but yeah. It's really cool when they're like meshed together. You get a two for one.
Oh.
And I love it. I feel like you just model trusting God in your life as a person, but to put it in a book for children, it's so beautiful. So why did you decide to write this book, and how was it writing a book with your three children?
this book would have been not as, I guess, kid worded. I don't even know how to say that without our children, because they were like, Mom, that's not what kids think about. Or they would come up with a line, and it was so much fun. It kind of came out of our time home together when they were doing that homeschool round and those final edits. And it's called Flashlight Night, An Adventure in Trusting God. And what I really love about the book is that it's two friends that realize through this little adventure that they don't have to, with all the worry going on, mm-hmm. and kids have their worries. Mm-hmm. They don't have to hold on to worry alone. They don't have to hold on to fear alone. Mm-hmm. They have to carry it around in their little like heart backpacks, mm-hmm. That they can share it. And then they can be honest with God. I think that's something I wish I knew earlier, and I wish I knew to teach our kids mm-hmm. earlier. So these two friends go to a chalk wall, and they learn that they can write out all the things that are on their mind.
Yeah.
Nothing is too big and nothing is too small. And then they get to be honest by going back to the wall and having a flashlight night and we do this in our house. We have a wall where we shine the light on where we see God working mm-hmm. and answering a prayer, or fear is gone, or this thing isn't bugging us anymore. And then we shut the light off and we get honest and we say, I don't see, I don't see an answer yet. And this is still hard. I don't see what's happening, God, but I trust that you're still there.
Yeah.
And so I think teaching our kids during some hard seasons, whether it be COVID or losing little ones to their battles with their sickness that we know and love, having a way to express that we all have these fears and hopes and wishes. Mm-hmm. We don't have to hold them in. We can be honest. And then we can be honest with God that it doesn't feel good and it does feel kind of dark right now.
Yeah.
And so I think allowing our children to walk through their kind of prayer life this way and just expressing things and having a just a easy talk with God has been a gift. And my hope is that this book, which has chalk wallpaper on the inside cover, can be a way for little kids. And I've seen pictures and I'll keep posting them on my Instagram when people show either readings with the books with their kids or what their kids are writing. It gives kids a place to just have that talk with God.
Yeah.
And so that's my prayer. God put it on our hearts and he put it on our hearts to do it in our home. We saw the value in it. And I thought, wow, this, I would love to be able to share it. Yeah. And this book just came so easily. I know it was just kind of like spirit fuel. Like, wow, this just
spirit fuel.
It just came. Like,
I love that.
Because it almost felt ease. There was an ease about it. Not easy, but there was an ease about writing it that felt so joyful. And it's fun. I think like faith is an adventure.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like, okay, I'm trusting that this roller coaster comes to an end and then it does. But like a lot of times we don't see it. And I think if we've ever had a season like this past year where it feels like, I'm not understanding this.
I don't get it.
And like, I used to save my prayers for emergencies when I was little. Like, I would be so afraid to pray for like...
A lot of people do.
Like the little things. And so there's a line in the book that says like, will my prayers be way too big or are they way too small? And so I've seen little kids writing like, will COVID be over? And about my shoes, will I always be in Velcro? You know, like they have big things and they have their own little things, which are big to them. So I just hope that it's a good way for kids to kind of get out their worries and fears. It brings families together. They got to see what we were worried about. I got to know a lot about their hearts. And so seeing it written down is like, wow, I didn't know that was on your mind, Isaiah.
Yeah. So, a while ago, we were talking about that because she was telling me that there was going to be a basketball hoop in my office one day. And she was like, they don't say things out loud, but like they'll write it down. You did this little exercise with Isaiah and he liked playing basketball with you. And it's like he didn't say it out loud, but then he wrote it down when you were doing that fun little exercise. That's what I see in this book. And, you know, my boys are not at an age where they can write, but I can see how this would be such a powerful thing because it's not you saying, like, is there anything wrong? You know, what's going on? And it's like, it's part of the journey of this sweet children's book.
Yes,
and
thank you.
It's such a turbulent time. And I know kids can feel that.
And they can feel it.
What a perfect time for this.
Thank you.
Okay. So speaking of big and small, this is the last question. And I'm going to put the link to get this book and actually to get her book that came out a couple of years ago, Point of View.
You're so sweet.
In the description. We're going to do swipe ups. We're going to do everything. But something that I wanted to close with, I talk about in the book that I'm writing, and I'm very obsessed with legacy. My whole family, like ever since we were children, they would ask us, like when we were little 5-year-old kids, like, what do you want your legacy to be? And I was like,
wow.
So really, we would have these family meetings and we would come together and it could be something creative. We would decorate these barrels. But they always thought legacy should be something even a child should consider, like a young person. And so I've always been very obsessed with legacy. And then now, you know, having my children, I want to be really intentional about that. And so many people don't think about that until they're like at the end of their lives. And you can, of course, make a difference at the end of your life. But man, if we considered our legacy and like lived in that mode every single day, like what powerful lives we could live. And from a distance, it's what I see you doing in your life and the choices that you make and the way that you've shifted and pivoted when things didn't feel right. So when you are no longer here, how do you want people to remember you? What do you want your legacy to be? And how are you, like, what decisions are you making in the day-to-day to be that person? Sorry, I didn't tell you I was asking you that before it started, but
that's,
I figured if
deep,
anyone could,
Mallory,
handle it, it would be you.
Well, you know what I love about you? We could talk about lashes and legacy.
Yeah.
I just feel like we could just talk both. That's the best thing about this
legacy
girl right
and
here.
Lashes.
Just,
oh, I love
you're
that.
So special. I love that. I had like a full chill when you were saying that, because I think if more people considered the legacy that they were actually creating in the moment, like every decision would seem precious. and so purposed and so meaningful. And I think part of like, I hope our children are able to say they knew us, like they knew what we liked. They knew what games we liked to play, that my hand would shake at the top of the Jenga tower. You know, I hope that playing basketball with Isaiah or riding in the car with Grace was fun. I hope our children know how loved they are. I think ultimately the greatest legacy that we can leave them is how loved they are by God. Mm-hmm. You know, how meaningful their lives are, how they have a specific brush mark to make on this canvas of life, that it is on purpose and has great purpose in it. And that family is fun. And that family.
Oh, I love that.
Family's fun. And that we can create these memories. I think kids love, I think sometimes even putting the phrase before this makes kids feel like a toe dip into legacy. Like, we always do this as a family. You know, like when you underline that for your children, they'll say that, like, because they get asked these questions at school. And if you ever try to hide something, school's finding out because they ask them, like, what'd you do this weekend? Like, you know, like, what are your family traditions? Like, you better have some, okay? To bring some levity to it, like, get cracking on the, like, actual.
My mom didn't do that. Like, you don't want them writing that
down. But it could be simple. It could be like every year we start the fall off with a fire pit night. Every Christmas we make cookies with Mimi or Mama. Like, those are the things that they remember, and they need to remember because they're going to have children and grandchildren that want things to remember. And so it's just making the small things that you love doing, that's legacy. It doesn't have to be something wild and dynamic to anybody else. It's a, every night, my mom, you fill in the blank. Every summer, and remind them how important it is to like go back to the places that mean something. And it might just be your backyard or your favorite spot on the sofa.
That's so awesome.
But I love that about your family.
I can't wait to read your book.
You better send me a manuscript.
Yes. Oh, hey, I'll get it. I want to, that would be an honor to have you read some and have an endorsement or, you know, whatever it is from you. But yeah, it's a really cool thing that I feel like was a gift just given to me as a child. And it's something that, you know, I wrote about in my book because I hope that people don't forget the importance of that. Like, as we're lost in the day to day and how to navigate like so many new hard things, because it's like it is so important. Like, it is the meat and potatoes of life. And it's like right now, things that will come and go, like Instagram or like, you know, the current affairs of whatever, they make up so much of the space in our minds. And so I always take a step back. And that's why I wanted to ask you that question. I want to ask everybody that question on the podcast this season, but you're the first one that I ask it for. So dang, there is a high bar.
No.
And I like how simple you made it and how special you made it. Because as a person that's done really huge things, that you could say, well, my legacy is when you can't do something, you struggle and you strive. And when people are this to you, you do that. It could have been all that, but it was the fire pit and it was the cookies and the Jenga. And that is just everything that is special about you.
And getting
all
bruises
in
a batting cage trying to impress Taylor. When you have a 13-year-old son, you're hanging on. You're just there. It's like this, you're on the middle of that like seesaw. Like, I still have your attention, right? Like all of it. And it's so, listen, your legacy is looking at you every single day. They've got these little eyes looking right at you, and your smile and your attention. I think the challenge for parents in this day and age is giving real full attention to their children when they're right there in front of them.
It's so hard.
I don't know why it's so hard. It's a tug. And so it's like, it sounds old fashioned, but if it's 5 minutes or 50 minutes, whatever that is, whatever God is giving you, like, their faces to your faces, your conversations, like, we are going to have to pursue that in this day and age with our children, or our legacy will be the top of our heads.
If that doesn't wake you up for the end of a podcast, I don't know what will. That was a perfect way to end this. So thank you so much, Elizabeth, for your friendship and for taking 50 minutes today to talk about all these amazing things that I know are going to bless every single set of ears that listens to this podcast.
Well, there are going to be millions of ears listening to this one, and they're just going to be blessed for it, because you're so living fully and really with great purpose for everyone out there. I love what you do. I love how you love your family. I love how you're just awesome. Doing it with like that spirit fuel, girl. Well, get it.
Thank you. I need more spirit fuel some days, but I'm glad I can put a name to it now. Well, thank you so much. And thank you everyone for listening to this conversation with my friend Elizabeth. And you guys can find all of her links to where you can follow along to everything if you're not already following along in the description of this podcast. So thank you again so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on Living Fully with Mallory Irvin. And remember to subscribe so you don't miss a single minute of encouragement and inspiration to live your best life. Want more? Join us on MalloryIrvin.com so we can connect with you on Instagram and YouTube. Start living your life now. You've only got one. We'll see you next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.